Friends in Christ and family of Bethlehem, you and I, right here, right now, today, are fit for life. Not because of anything that we've done, right? We are fit for life right here today in Christ. Last week, remember that we were brought into that privilege of being called in Christ by simply what happens right back there at the baptismal font. In holy baptism, God has claimed you as his own. The last few weeks, we've been talking about fitness, how we are fit. Maybe some of us, maybe the opposite, how unfit. Very first week, we got talking about our fitness. We asked the question, how fit, really, are we? Think about it. How fit are you? Some of us like to immediately go to our physical bodies when we talk about fitness. I don't know if we take a good look in the mirror. Sometimes we don't really like the look sometimes. We try to diet, we try to exercise, but sometimes it gets hard. The question isn't just about our bodies. It could be our mind. Could it be what's inside our heart? How fit, really, are we on the inside? We asked that question, and we found out pretty quickly that out of the heart come all the sinful desires and evil thoughts of man. And in our hearts, we know that we are quite the opposite. We are dead. We are dead to sin, and so we are in need of some fitness. We asked that question, what's in our heart? What is in your heart? And we gave a simple explanation. After confessing that, we realized that we have a statement of faith, a firm foundation as Christians. Our statement of faith is the creed, the Apostles' Creed, which we'll confess in a little bit. That's what's in our hearts. Then we asked a question about our physical and mental and spiritual health. What has the doctor ordered? What has our good doctor, the great physician, God Almighty, ordered for our life in order to make us fit? That, of course, is none other than his law, the Ten Commandments. That's what God orders for us to keep us in right living. I don't know about you, but I can't keep them. So, thanks be to God, we are in Christ. We ask that question, if we are trying to follow the doctor's orders, what's the prescription, good doctor? What do you have for me? What's the prescription? It's not more cowbell. It's the Lord's Prayer. How we can keep active in our conversation, a relationship with God in Christ. And we talked about that question. Are you ready last week? Are you ready for your transplant? If we found out that our heart is on our own, cold and dead to sin, that means we need a new heart. Not from another person, not from a different sort of animal. It comes from the heart of God. If you put your pulse, you check, the heartbeat you have isn't the heartbeat of you anymore. It's the very heart of Jesus Christ living within you that beats to love you each and every day. And after now, we have realized that we have the heart of God. We bear the image of Christ. We bear the image of God once again. We are fit for life in Christ already. So friends, no matter how sinful our past has been, no matter where we came from, no matter what we think of this body, mind, and soul, it's what God thinks, not what you think. When we look in the mirror, when we see our reflection coming in those doors today, it's what God sees. And what God sees in you is a reflection of himself, Jesus Christ. When he sees you, he sees beauty. He sees himself. And so today, what do we do because of that? How do we live out our lives being fit in Christ? Well, it's time for exercise, right? We can't expect to play the game if we don't practice. How do we practice our faith as Christians? Ever wonder that? Could be daily Bible reading. It could be coming to church. It could be doing volunteer work. But none of that is as important as what we're going to talk about today. Our exercise is in that other sacrament, not holy baptism, but holy communion. What is going on at this altar is more important than any music that we'll hear. What is going on at this altar is more important than the words of any sermon, no matter how inspiring they may be, because what's going on at this altar is what God is doing for you. But I have another question. How many of you ever prayed this simple dinner prayer? It's really easy for kids to remember. I grew up with it. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. How's it go? And let these gifts to us be blessed. Amen. Raise your hand if you still pray that today. I love it. It's easy. Some of us maybe come from a different heritage. We might have started with maybe old-fashioned, bless us, O Lord, for these thy gifts, which we're about to receive from thy bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen. Or some of us, if we're really hungry, we say, good food, good meat, good God, let's eat. Maybe not. It's a little bit different, but when we pray this prayer, it reminds us of some pretty important things. Come, Lord Jesus. What does that mean? Come, Lord Jesus. In fact, that is the last prayer in all of God's holy word. Right there at the end of the in your books of the Bible. Come, Lord Jesus. And it's a prayer that we pray not just here at the altar, but when we're eating a meal. We're praying for God to be in our midst. Come, Lord Jesus. And not even that, we're praying for him to come back and fix this broken world. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We're going to find out why that's so important, that prayer, come, Lord Jesus, in a little bit. What else do we pray? Be our guest, we pray at mealtime. We pray that he is present with us. Be a guest, welcome in our home. Because where two or three are gathered in my there I am among them. We're praying that God is in our family as he is, and we welcome him as such. Let these gifts, it's important that we look at bread on the table. It's important that we look at maybe that Thanksgiving turkey, that sushi that we have on the run. These are gifts, free gifts from God. And the greatest gifts of these is eternal life that we have in this meal. So, today, it's time for Christ has already made you and I fit for life. We're here today. We're living for today for a reason. Regardless of how old or young we are here on purpose. So what are we going to do about it? How do we keep regular in exercise? The first thing is we cling to what this supper gives to us. Remember what we heard in our scripture readings today? What is it that we come to receive at this altar? Any answers? Want to raise your hand? Let's quiz maybe our confirmation. I'll give you a hint. What are four things present in the Lord's Supper? What does it give? Anybody? What do we eat and drink? That's an easy one. Say it out loud. Bread and wine. Is it still bread and wine? It's a little different. It's bread without yeast, because we remember that Passover meal, by the way, that the Israelites were so quickly led out of slavery that they didn't have time for the bread to rise. So no yeast. We're going to go on the run. That's how urgent our faith needs to be today. That's why we don't have bread with yeast. We're ready to go. What else is present? In and under bread and wine is the very body and blood of Christ. How do you know? Can you see it? How do you know it's there? When does it become there? And does it stop becoming there? These are some hard questions. That we believe in the Word. What Word? The Word of God that says what Jesus says himself. I don't know about you, but if Jesus says something, I'm going to listen and pay close attention. He says on the night when he was betrayed, "This is my body. This is my blood." This is not a simile. This is not a metaphor. This is not a symbol. Just like we see a mystery how God can make one flesh out of a man and woman in marriage, God can make his presence known in, with, and under, through the eyes of faith, these simple earthly things such as bread and wine. And when it becomes so powerful for you, what else do we get by eating and drinking this meal? What do we get from it? Not just bread and wine, but we get the very body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of sins. For the forgiveness of sins. That's why we're here today. Not because we can get this anywhere, but this is the only place where God gives us these gifts. That's why we do this each and every Sunday. We believe so firmly in this word of God and what Jesus says. This is so important that we can't miss it. We can't afford to miss what God has to give us each and every week. Because we need forgiveness. We know how we feel, how we are in the inside. We need it every day. And so he gives it every day. And we cling to what that supper gives. That's the first thing, how we keep regular in our exercise of faith. What else? We beg for Jesus to come back, right? We beg, come, Lord Jesus, and come quickly, right? Come quickly when we see people that have died of overdoses when they're 20 years old. Come quickly, Lord, because this world has gone astray. Come quickly when we have elderly family that are dying in hospitals and they can't have visitors. Come quickly, Lord. We need that love and comfort. And you know what? We beg Jesus to come back in this meal again. Because this meal is the only thing that sustains us. Multiple church theologians over the years have said that through ups and downs, the history of the Crusades, the dark ages of the church, the schism when churches are separated and broke apart, it's what's happening at this altar, the one thing that has sustained the Christian church of all denominations throughout of all time is the body and blood of Christ. That's why we're here still today, is because people, our family, our ancestors, had did the same thing. They sustained their faith, and they brought it to you to pass along to the next generation. And if we don't keep in that regular exercise, it's going to be harder for our children, harder for our family to be a church. So we beg for Jesus to come back. And last, we trust that Jesus sustains us until he does, right? I don't know if you caught this, but in our scripture reading for today, right after Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, after celebrating the Passover meal with his disciples, by the way, he communed Judas. He was one of those 12, even though he was going to betray him. He needed forgiveness. But after all was said and done, after the meal was picked up and cleaned, remember what they did? It says in scripture that they sang a hymn and then they went out to the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus would be arrested. They are modeling something what we know back in the Old Testament days. Before battle, before David and his army went out to battle, they would eat a meal, sing a hymn, and put on their armor. Jesus and his disciples are modeling that again for you and I today. They ate their meal as a family and as friends. They gathered together, they sang a battle hymn, and went out to do battle. Today, we sing our hymns. We receive this family meal, and we go out today to be sent out to do battle. Over your souls today, there is a battle that we can't see sometimes, but sometimes you can see it. There is a hard battle of evil, just the devil waiting to pounce on you and your family. And the closer you get to God, the more he wants to get in and wedge his way in between your family members. We can't let it happen. And how we keep from letting it happen is that we let ourselves be sustained by what the Lord has to give to us today. And we trust that he will until he comes back. So today, as we partake of this family meal, knowing rightly what it gives to us and the freedom that we have in our physical fitness, we have some questions to ponder. And I'll leave the hard theological questions for later if you want to ask me. But maybe consider this. As a kid, what were mealtimes like in your family? Were they the type that you got your TV dinner and you got your tray in front of the TV? Your game? Or they went with a really nice formal dining room where there was mom and dad at the ends of the head table, like Thanksgiving, like a Norman Rockwell painting. Or maybe were there something in the middle where we just grab a bite, grab a plate, or maybe don't even have a plate and just sit on the sofa, kind of like what I grew up with. Where did everyone sit? And what was your favorite meal? And how did mom prepare, or maybe how did dad prepare that meal for your homecoming? Think about that, because these questions relate to us as this is a homecoming meal for you as a family, as our family. And one last question. Before we get into our goal for this week, sometimes we get very superstitious with the Lord's Supper, that the words that a pastor or priest sometimes become magical, that by simply speaking these words that the body and blood magically appear of Jesus. What we believe is something much near and dear to the heart. We receive that forgiveness of sins when we come to this rail, when we open our hands wide, and we take to heart and believe these words, that this is given and shed for you. For you. Jesus is here for you today, and nothing can stop that. And that's how we keep regular exercise, as we trust in him. So, as we go today, sent out in the world to do battle, fed, sustained by God's word and his gifts today, guess what? We get to do some regular activity ourselves. Christ has made us fit for life by Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and his resurrection Easter morning. What are you and I doing to keep in regular exercise? How are we going to do some strength training? We partake in this meal, but maybe here's a goal for you and your body today. Spend about 30 minutes each day for 3 days this week, at least. 30 minutes of regular activity. Maybe go for a walk today. Enjoy the fall weather. See some new sights. Smell the leaves. 30 minutes a day, and if you're already doing it, keep doing it, and maybe add another day. And when we do that, we will realize our bodies are fit because we're taking care of what God has given us, and we will be fit for life in Christ.